President Lyons, I'd like to take roll.
Please.
Commissioner Clay.
Present.
Commissioner Benedicto.
Present.
Commissioner Yanez.
Present.
Commissioner Yee.
Here.
Vice President Carter Overstone is excused. President Lyons, you have a quorum. Also tonight, we have Chief Scott from the San Francisco Police Department and Executive Director Paul Henderson from the Department of Police Accountability.
Great, thank you. Welcome everyone to our February 19, 2025 meeting. This is our last meeting of the month. With that, Sergeant, you want to call the first item?
Line item one, general public comment. At this time, the public is now welcome to address the commission for up to 2 minutes on items that do not appear on tonight's agenda, but are within the subject matter jurisdiction of the police commission. Under police commission rules of order, during public comment, neither police or DPA personnel nor commissioners are required to respond to questions by the public, but may provide a brief response. Alternatively, you may submit public comment in either of the following ways: email the secretary of the police commission at sfpd.commission@sfgov.org, or written comments may be sent via U.S. Postal Service to the Public Safety Building located at 1245 3rd Street, San Francisco, California, 94158. If you would like to make public comment, please approach the podium.
Thank you. Good evening, guys. I really don't know what I'm going to talk about here. It follows the meeting of MTA yesterday, so I'll put some nail here, trying to explain, because I think the last time we saw each other, I mean 2 weeks ago, I vaguely mentioned to you something called the Buck Revolution, which I started. It's a revolution. So I want you to understand what the name Buck means, because otherwise you're going to think, yeah, it's about money or dollars. No, no. Buck stands for the name of the famous dog from the famous book from famous Jack London, native of San Francisco, called The Call of the Wild. So the future of humanity is about reconnecting itself with its fellow creatures, that is, all species. Business is over. It lasted for I don't know how many centuries, but it leads to destruction. We can see it, huh? So it's going to be beautiful, because I'm working for beauty, huh? Following the rules from the skies, which I'm ordered to follow. So how does the police fit in there? I think because we are talking about basically animals, which we are, I think veterinarians, which are going to have an essential role to play. And I think the police in the future is going to have to make sure that nobody attacks the veterinarians. You see, it's about health somehow, of course, but so step by step, I don't know, anyway, is to get you out of the trap you are in. We are all in, including me, except I'm working for the skies. It's a big difference. Step by step. Yeah.
For the record, my name is Chris Ward Klein. Some of you know me as Sergeant Klein from the United States Marine Corps, active duty. Others know me as an investigator who has brought some serious concerns to the police commission. Tonight, I'm introducing myself as the CEO of a nonprofit called PAVEN. It stands for Prejudice and Violence Ends Now, and we do a lot of educating on reducing prejudice and violence and bringing the communities together with the police department, the police commission, and others. We're all part of a healthy community. We do that with strong individuals for stronger families, form the strongest communities, not just this community, but the community next to us, San Mateo, Alameda, and so on and so on. Part of this is we're ready to announce some awards for San Francisco. You'll see a section called Legion of Leaders Award. Read through that, go to the website, take it back to your own, where you wear your other hats. If you know somebody that meets that criteria, we're looking for someone that's a community leader that bridges the gaps between communities, bringing them together, that has dedicated a large portion of their life to helping communities, helping youths in other areas, but also law enforcement. If there's a law enforcement officer that is a Little League coach, that may be a perfect candidate. So again, there's at the very bottom, there's some other categories that we have. We have some scholarships that we offer to UCSF, Northeastern University, and University of Maryland, and we're expanding through the Midwest and here in California as well, Sacramento and LA. And if you have any questions, my contact information is at the bottom, and I look forward to working with the police commission and the police department going forward. Thank you.
Good evening. I just wanted to, I was thinking about last time I was here concerning Sojourner, the trip, and people downing the trip. I do think that if we don't know our history, we're doomed to repeat it. So who's ever listening, this Sojourner Truth helps community and police too, so that, you know, I was just thinking about how when we were there, when I was there, that how the community came together and how community and police came together. So I'm hoping that this happens again, and I'm hoping some of you that haven't gone will go back again, and some of the police officers, the mayor, the district five supervisors. We need to go back and see what happened to us, what happened to our families. Because again, moderate day, it's just moderate day now, and it's still happening. So I do hope this happens again. And please, if we don't know our history, we are doomed to repeat it. And we need to know this, no matter what nationality you are, or what color you are. All of us been hurt, so we need to know our history and not down it. The Holocaust, all of that, people have been hurt. We need to know about that, different nationalities, different people. Sojourner Truth is the place for us to go to learn. I never knew about this before. I never knew my history. And being there made me know my history. I could teach my children and my grandchildren what I learned there. Thank you.
And that is the end of public comment. For line item two, we are removing the grant from the San Francisco Police Community Foundation. Line item two, consent calendar, receive and file, action, electronic bias audit for third, fourth, and end of year 2024, and a $5,000 grant from the National Association of Victims of Crime Act administrators.
Motion to receive and file on the first two items, understanding the last item was removed.
All right, second.
Any member of the public would like to make public comment regarding the consent calendar, please approach the podium. There is no public comment. On the motion, Commissioner Clay, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Clay is yes. Commissioner Benedicto?
Yes.
Commissioner Benedicto is yes. Commissioner Yanez?
Yes.
Commissioner Yanez is yes. Commissioner Yee?
Yes.
Commissioner Yee is yes. And President Elias?
Yes.
President Elias is yes. You have five yeses. Line item three, Chief's Report, discussion, weekly crime trends and public safety concerns. Provide an overview of offenses, incidents, or events occurring in San Francisco having an impact on public safety. Chief Scott.
Thank you, Sergeant Youngblood. Good evening, President Elias, commissioners, Executive Director Henderson, and the public. I'll start off the report this week with just the general overall crime trends. Year to date, overall Part 1 crime is down 34%. That's broken down by a 13% reduction in violent crime and a 37% reduction in property crime. Some of the what's driving this crime reduction is there's a 56% reduction year to date in auto break-ins, which continues the trend that we saw last year. There's also, in terms of thefts in general, there's over 30% reduction in thefts in general. So that's really driving the overall crime, Part 1 crime numbers down. In terms of our violent crime, our shootings year to date are actually up 5%. However, our homicides are down. We're at one year to date. We had three this time last year, and our gun-related homicides are a third of what they were this time last year. And we also have, we've cleared some older cases, so our clearance rate is right now at 300%. for the year because we've cleared more cases than we've had homicides this year. So our homicide investigators are doing some really, really good work clearing some of the unsolved cases. And I know we have a lot of work to do, and hopefully if we can continue this trend, it does give our folks time to work on those unsolved cases and those cold cases and spend more energy on those. So that's how we plan to use some of our resources moving forward. In terms of significant incidents, this past week, I just want to highlight the NBA All-Star Game and the Chinese New Year Parade and all the work that went into that. Total team effort from a number of city departments to make sure we had success. Two basically very significant events. We had pretty much everybody working over this last couple of days over the weekend, but we had no significant incidents associated with the NBA All-Star Game. No crimes that we know of associated with the NBA All-Star Game. Very high praise from the commissioner of the NBA to the security teams that we work with. Had very high praise for the city of San Francisco, what they're seeing in terms of a resurgence of the city as it was described by Commissioner Silver from the NBA. Just the energy that they saw this week. So it was very complimentary, but none of that happens without the people doing the work. So my hat's off to all of our officers and other city employees that were out there all weekend making sure the city was clean and everything was coordinated and that we had a relatively incident-free weekend. On top of that, the Chinese New Year parade went off without a hitch. Very well attended. No drop-off in terms of the security and policing for that event. No really crime incidents to speak of. There were some medical calls along the route, but it was a very, very good event as well. So just want to thank everybody who participated in that and the commissioners who participated as well. As far as incidents over the past week, there were three non-fatal shootings resulted in three victims. One was on the 12th of February at 12:46 p.m. Sunnydale and Sawyer. Two groups of individuals were actually shooting at each other when a stray bullet struck an uninvolved victim. The victim was transported to the hospital in stable condition. There was one arrest associated with that shooting, and that investigation is ongoing. On 2/13/25, we don't know the time because we haven't been able to determine the time. A victim who was self-transported to the hospital claimed that someone he knew shot and robbed him. The victim was in stable condition, and the suspect's identity is still being investigated. So no arrest at this point on that particular case. It happened, according to the victim, in the area of Polk and Larkin. On the 16th of February at 12:30 a.m. at Sutter and Polk in the Northern District, officers responded to the hospital for another victim who was self-transported with a gunshot wound. The victim advised he was in the area of Sutter and Polk when he heard a gunshot and felt pain. No further information was provided. This investigation is also ongoing. No arrest at this time. There was an arrest made on a 2022 homicide case. Victim on August 1st, 2022, shot multiple times in the unit block of Brookdale. The victim later succumbed to his injuries. During the investigation, evidence was located. 2 years later, investigators received information from that evidence that identified one of the possible perpetrators. On 2/12 of this year, February 12th, that suspect was located and arrested. The arrest is being handled through the juvenile justice system as the suspect was a 16-year-old at the time of the incident. In addition to that, we had a robbery at the 3300 block of Fillmore Avenue on Valentine's Day afternoon. The victim was at work when the suspect entered, pointed a gun, and demanded property. That suspect fled on foot and was located, detained, and later arrested by our responding officers. Also, a assault with a knife that occurred in the 2000 block of Mission on the 11th of February at 4:30 p.m. The victim was followed into this location by a suspect who brandished a knife and attempted to stab the victim. A struggle ensued over the knife, causing lacerations to the victim's hands. The victim was transported in stable condition. That suspect was also arrested at the scene. Let's see. Just want to report on some of the sideshow activity in the Bay Area that happened over the weekend. First of all, I want to clarify some of the information that had gone out through various media outlets. There were no sideshows in the city of San Francisco. However, there was a sideshow about 2:30 in the morning on the Bay Bridge that was handled by CHP with the assistance of our officers, SFPD officers. But it was a busy night around the Bay Area. 9:30 p.m., we were advised by an outside police department that sideshows were occurring outside of San Francisco, and we started our coordination with many agencies, including the California Highway Patrol. At that point, we were advised that a small group of cars were actively involved in the sideshow, and they went across the Bay Bridge headed toward the city. The group was basically disrupted by the California Highway Patrol, and they actually turned around and went back east. As a result of what we thought would be a busy night with sideshow activity, our stunt driving response unit was activated. That unit reported scouting cars throughout the night, and basically our strategy was to get to the hot spots and prevent these events from happening before they could set up. We were extremely successful at that. We did not have any sideshows in the city. We basically were at the right places at the right times. However, we did assist Daly City PD at about 2 a.m. when hundreds of vehicles ended up in Daly City. Our unit and Daly City PD quickly disrupted that particular sideshow and flushed those vehicles from that location. Fireworks were set off. Vehicles fled onto the freeway, including headed toward the Bay Bridge. With coordination with the CHP, that's when the larger sideshow on the Bay Bridge occurred at around 2:32 a.m. So that was broken up, and there was at least one arrest, and I think there was at least two cars impounded associated with that sideshow. Bottom line on all this, it took a lot of coordination. We were able to prevent these events from happening in the city of San Francisco, but it did take a lot of personnel hours and a lot of coordination. But I want to thank California Highway Patrol and all the other jurisdictions who work with us to do what we can to coordinate and make sure that not only in San Francisco but across the Bay Area that we try to stop these sideshows from happening. And that is my report for this evening. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Commissioner Clay.
I was going to say, just great report, Chief. We appreciate hearing all this information, and obviously all the public service safety officers and the teams that worked this past weekend and doing a wonderful job of having the city shine. And I guess from that we convinced at least one celebrity to understand the way San Francisco is moving in the right direction and how beautiful this city is. But he wrote a $250,000 check.
I understand.
Wasn't that Sir Charles Barkley who's trashed our city, and now we're back. So if he says we're back, I guess the world should know we're back. So
yes,
that's a great job, and keep doing what you're doing, and hopefully we can continue to assist you in getting you the stuff that you need to do your work and your jobs. Okay?
Thank you, Commissioner.
All right.
That did get preceded by that op-ed from Alex Bastian that had a wonderful outline clarifying what the issues were for Mr. Barkley, but okay. I think they go hand in hand, and it's what opened the door to the conversation and the follow-up.
Commissioner Yee.
Thank you very much there, President Cindy Elias. I just want to echo what Commissioner Clay said and you reported. I want to thank the police officers and your team, your command staff, putting together a concise and I guess a precise, safety plan out there. You know, you had the Chinese New Year parade. I guess there's probably over 250,000 people in attendance, let alone the stretch that it across to San Francisco, and also the NBA's all-star events that happen around the city. Wow, I'm just saying it's just a grand affair, and you really hit it off. I also want to also thank the other first responder. I saw the sheriffs out there too as well, and I want to thank them too. There was a shooting on DeBus Triangle, I think. About a day ago, I think. Is there any updates? I guess you'll report it next time around.
Yes, sir. We do have some leads on that particular case, so hopefully we'll be able to report some good news, but we do have some leads.
Thanks again, Chief, for excellent job, and to your command staff and all the officers. Thank you.
Thank you. Sergeant?
If any member of the public would like to make public comment regarding line item 3, the Chief's report.
I would like to follow up. Sorry, I have a hand up.
Sorry about that, Commissioner Yanez.
It's okay.
Please.
It's always challenging. My apologies. Thank you for that report, Chief. And I really want to convey my appreciation to all the officers that worked, multiple shifts, I'm sure, this weekend, making sure that the city was shining and that the rest of the world could see that San Francisco is not only back. I don't think it's ever gone anywhere, right? We've always been a great city. A quick question regarding the Sixth Street Jesse project. We received a letter from the Treatment on Demand Coalition and the Safer Inside Coalition with a letter kind of raising some questions. And I know there's been some coverage. I assumed incorrectly last week that you may include that in your chief's report. But do you have any updates, information for the public about what the purpose, goals, and outcomes that we expect for that site on 6th Street and the tents and the coordination that's taking place there?
Yes, sir, Commissioner. The overall goal is to improve the street conditions on 6th Street. A lot of the open air drug sales, drug usage, there's other just street condition issues, cleaning and that type of thing. So it's really a continuation and an extension of the collaboration that we are doing with our Drug Market Agency Coordination Center. It's all the same departments, except for this effort would be focused on 6th Street so that the triage site, the triage, mobile triage center is basically a parking lot that the city now has leased a portion of, and we have all the city agencies that are part of this work basically sharing that parking lot to bring services to the people that need them. There is a portion there where police officers can do what they need to do in terms of if there is, for instance, if processing or that type of thing. But really, it's about engaging with the public, particularly those folks that we engage with on 6th Street that need help. You know, this is 2 weeks in the making. And one of those weeks, there was really had a lot of pulls on everybody's personnel for the NBA All-Star and the Chinese New Year Parade. But this really, I would say this week is really kind of a test of what this is going to look like. Some of the collaborative partners are public health, of course, homeless and supportive housing, the Human Services Agency. Journey Home has a table out there if people want to reconnect to their supports, whatever city they're from. Of course, Public Works, the fire department, sheriffs, PD, we all have a stake in this. So far, there have been hundreds of engagements. There have been, just in 1 week, there was, I want to say the number is somewhere around 270 engagements where people were connected with, some type of medical services, including treatment on the streets, addictive services, that type of thing. There is an enforcement component of this. When people are dealing drugs or using drugs in the streets, there's several avenues. We're trying to get people to help, just like we did with DMAC. But for the blatant, open-air, repeated use, we will enforce, and we have enforced. We've arrested drug dealers in this effort, and we have a dedicated group of officers that are out on foot beats to support this effort. So far, what we're seeing and what we're hearing is there have been some street conditions improvements. We're very early on this, and I want to just emphasize that this is not just a police thing. This is really a holistic approach. And I know, Commissioner, you've been very dialed in on what else are we doing besides enforcement. So that public health touch is a big part of this. And so far we've had, like I said, in 1 week, we've had over 200 people. I think the number is 27 in the 270 range that actually have had that public health touch. So that's very, very encouraging. And I think We're going to see how this works. And the whole idea is it's nimble enough that if it works, we can replicate this in other parts of the city is the hope.
And are there specific outcomes or treatment beds that are being allocated to this effort in addition to what is already made available through the different DPH partnerships?
Yes, in the sense that, for instance, some of the homeless outreach teams that are working in that 6th Street corridor, and that includes Mission and 6th, that area that's had some challenges too. So they have been able to place a number of people and get shelter beds for them. And, you know, we have needs in other parts of the city. So I say yes, and I'll put an asterisk by that. But they definitely, when they're out there, they have had beds available for people that are willing to take advantage of that. So they're also, Mayor Lurie, I believe just last week, announced that there's a new stabilization center coming online. It's not a significant amount of beds, but it will be a help to have another now facility where people can go when they need that type of service. So we're hoping that that will be online in a month or two, no later than two, hopefully. But that was announced last week as well. But so we've had some good fortune with beds being available at this point.
That's really positive development there. I appreciate the update. I do know that we had postponed a conversation around the partnership that SFPD has with some of the DPH teams and some of the support that you provide to those folks that are doing enforcement and citations for, you know, the public vendors. And so I would love if we could collapse this new effort, since it seems similar as far as interdepartmental collaboration efforts. And I will submit a request, and hopefully we could get a presentation on this to not only understand better what the recent impact has been, but what the long-term goals will be, and if there is going to be some replication. I know that 16th Street and Mission would be a site where I think there is a lot of support to be offered. So thank you for that update. Those are my only questions. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Sergeant.
If any member of the public has any public comment regarding line item 3, Chief's report, please approach the podium.
Beautiful. So apart from Jesus, the report was good. Yeah, it's concise, everything, considering the trap you are in, of course. So what do we get? It's interesting because you mentioned Chinese New Year. It's very interesting because I declared the Buck Revolution started on the last day of the year of the dragon. I didn't know. I guess, that's it. Now we are on the year of the snakes. So you better make sure, because somebody is going to have to take care of the snakes. There are plenty of them. So personally, I'm not too good with snakes. I don't know. Because every one of us, we're going to have to take care of a specific species. You understand? For a mandate of 5 years. No exception. It's by drawing. You get this one. But sorry. Now, if you committed crimes, you see, you're going to have some animals which are not necessarily attractive. But we have to take care of all of them anyway. So that's my thing. It's sort of a joke. Never mind. But it's important because this is the future.
I'd like to use the overhead. As always, I come here concerning my son, Aubrey Arakasa Jr., who was murdered August 14, 2006. I am glad to hear that homicides are down now and that the attention can be put on our children, on cold cases and unsolved cases. I am praying that, and I'm believing one of my son is one of those persons. I do have my investigator, but I know he was out for surgery. I bring these names of the people that former Mayor Gavin Newsom say he know who killed my child. He names addresses, names, and one is Thomas Hannibal, Paris Moffitt, Andrew Baddou, Jason Thomas, Anthony Hunter, and Marcus Carter. One is deceased. I bring these pictures of unsolved homicides that are not solved. I bring this picture of my son that I stand over, thinking about one day will I get justice for my child. This is what the perpetrators left me, a lifeless body, versus that smile you saw earlier on the other paper. People ask me why did I show these pictures all the time. But if I come in here and I didn't have these pictures and talked, you wouldn't understand what I'm going through. So I show you what I'm going through. He has siblings. He has sisters. He has nieces. He has nephews that he will never see the nephews and aunt. They will never see their uncle again. I will never see my son again. This is all I have. This is all they left me with. So I'm hoping that things will change and that Max Carter Overstone with that initiative for the unsolved homicides and paying tipsters will fall through. Thank you.
That is the end of public comment. Line item 4, DPA Director's Report. Report on recent DPA activities and announcements. Executive Director Henderson.
Thank you. As you know, the audits is an ongoing process, so there will be periodic updates on the audits that have happened in the past. But for audits that are coming in the future, our audit director, Steve Flaherty, has sent out notifications both to the chief and to the commission secretary this week to announce the new audit that's coming up on use of force. The regular use of force audit is, as you know, mandated by charter, and that process involves us reaching out to our stakeholders, including the police commission, to ensure that relevant perspectives are always considered, and we will continue in that process. But that's what it is. That's the notification, and you'll hear more about it in the future as that process unfolds, as it has in the past, specifically with use of force. We also brought in 3 new interns now for the spring semester. They've been integrated into our investigation teams and with our policy unit. As a heads up, we are accepting applications now for the summer internship program, award-winning summer internship program, and would appreciate commissioners for you guys and the department to spread the word and information if you have interested parties that are interested in working with us. This week, our investigations unit opened 18 new cases and closed 15 cases since the last commission meeting. The top allegation this week was for conduct unbecoming. I think in the notification we sent out, there's an error in what that classification was. So it's not neglect of duty. It was for conduct unbecoming. Again, these are allegations that came into the office. We currently have 19 investigations that have been open for more than 270 days, and of those 19 investigations, 16 of those investigations are told. There are currently 4 cases that are pending with the police commission waiting for resolution, and 103 cases that are pending resolution with the chief's office. Here this evening in the commission room is a senior investigator who is available in case there are issues that come up during this evening's commission. And if folks need to get in contact with DPA directly, the website is sfgov.org/DPA, and the phone number is 415-241-7711. This concludes my remarks, and I will reserve my remaining commentary to agenda items that may relate to the work at the DPA.
Sergeant.
If any member of the public would like to make public comment regarding line item 4, the DPA Director's Report, please approach the podium. There is no public comment. Line item 5, Commission Reports, Discussion and Possible Action. Commission President's Report, Commissioner's Reports, and Commission Announcements and Scheduling of Items Identified for Consideration at a Future Commission Meeting.
Commissioner Benedicto.
Thank you, President Elias. Just a few items for my report. First, I wanted to wish my fellow commissioners, members of the public, Black History Month. There's a lot of great programming happening by the city and various organizations, and I'm proud that our city continues to recognize this important recognition. Like Chief Scott said last week, over the weekend at the Chinese New Year Parade. We had great turnout, great weather, and people were in really good spirits. And I want to commend the department for the exceptional staffing challenges for the parade and the All-Star Game. Additionally, I'll be commenting on the next line item for district boundaries, so I will save my comments for that one. That's my report.
Thank you. Any other hands on the dais? All right, Sergeant.
Two quick things. Sorry.
That's okay. We were looking for the hand.
Great. My report will be brief, Chief. I wanted to follow up on an email that I sent. I've been looking for the community policing annual reports on the website, and I cannot locate them. And I don't believe the commission has received one in the last couple of years. Is there a status update on that?
No, Commissioner. You said you sent an email on that?
Yeah, I sent an email to, I believe it is AC Lazar. I may have included yourself prior to meeting with them when I had a conversation around measurable objectives and some of the metrics that have been referenced in both the DGO revision and the strategic community policing plan, which makes references to those annual reports, but we have not received one since my time on the commission.
So I'll follow up with you. I mean, I'll follow up with the commission on that.
Thank you. You know, it's really important, obviously, as we are in an evidence-based kind of world, to publicly, you know, and transparently help the community understand what it is that we are intending to impact upon when we invest our resources in whatever direction we do. And I know that those community policing both the strategic plan and the efforts that go on behalf of the Community Engagement Division are important in our engagement with community, improving our relationships. And obviously, as we know, the more ears and people we have on the street that have confidence in our department to report both incidents and to contribute to solving crimes, I think is one of the reasons why the community policing, DGO, and strategic plan are so important. So I would love to obtain that information. And once that DGO is up for a vote, I hope that we can have some community input into that process. The other question I had was with regard to as I was working on the investigative social media DGO, previously, Janelle Paywood, and now Jermaine Jones, working with the Brennan Center and many partners in the community around this social investigative social media DGO. They provided some feedback that went to the legal department, and I believe we are expecting some kind of comments or feedback. Is there a projected timeline for when that will be provided to us?
Commissioner, my understanding is there is a DGO being written that I have not seen yet. You know, the department was working on its DGO, but my understanding is there is another DGO being written, and I don't know who all is participating in that, but I have not seen it. So the comments, I don't know if those are the same comments that you're referring to.
I'm assuming that they would be. I know that Jermaine Jones provided that feedback some point in maybe October of last year, and we were waiting for, or we are waiting for the legal department to have an update on whether any of those recommendations are going to be incorporated, adopted, or whether there are any concerns with the recommendations. So any information that can be provided to either Jermaine, myself, or the commission would be really appreciated. I know there was a lot of work that was put into that effort in meeting with community partners to obtain those best practices. Those are my two main questions and updates. I know that I sound like a broken record, but, you know, in, I believe, December of 22, when I first started working on the DGO 701, the juvenile DGO, and we started talking about the pre-booking program, you had optimistically projected a three-month completion timeline. We're now in almost year three. Do we have any updates on a launch date for a pre-booking program?
Well, what remains, I think you mentioned last week that there's going to be another meeting with Judge Chin. We actually have the draft of the program. I mean, not the draft. We've written everything. It's been sent out to, I think, you as well as the collaborative partners on what we want to go with, basically. And as you stated last week, you know, Judge Chin had some recommendations that I believe we can incorporate without many changes being made. So I don't think that's going to be an issue that slows this down. I don't know that we got total agreement with some of our partners, such as juvenile probation, but we have a draft that we're comfortable with that we want to move forward with.
Thank you for that. My understanding is that Judge Chan does not necessarily believe that the judicial branch of San Francisco actually needs to be involved with the program. It was my interpretation. He offered to meet mainly to discuss how we can incorporate some of the traffic court referrals for juveniles into that. So I don't know whether you are saying that that's the reason we're not launching, or is the launch not taking place because the Juvenile Probation Department and community partners haven't necessarily agreed to the terms that you've detailed in that projected proposed MOU?
No, I'm not saying that the judge is the holdup at all. Part of the reason we wanted to make sure we talk to the judge is we do believe that the courts has, or the judge has, some insight that can be valuable. As you know, we've consulted with other cities who have successful programs, including Los Angeles, and one of the things that they recommended to us is make sure that you sit down with the juvenile court the presiding judge to pick their brains and get their insight. And in LA, I know they meet with the judge at least annually, maybe semi-annually, to just give a status on what the program is doing, how, if any, effects on the courts, and other things. So that was the spirit behind talking to the judge. The judge is not going to hold the program up one way or another, but we did feel that it was in the best interest of what we're trying to do to sit down with the judge and have that conversation. In terms of the juvenile probation department, I mean, there's just some issues, not deal-breaking issues, but some issues that we just don't agree with. But it should not stop us from going forward. You know, at the end of the day, they get to, you know, handle their cases as they handle them, and we get to do at least our part of this the way we think we need to proceed. And I don't think there's a whole lot of conflict with that. It's just we don't agree on some of the back end stuff that we had suggested that they don't agree with. So that's where we are. And as you know, it's taken a whole lot of input and process and back and forth to get to this point, but I think we're as far as we can take it before we launch.
Perhaps we can agendize this and have a more thorough discussion, because I think it seems like it's right.
Thank you. Yeah, I'd appreciate that. Thank you for that update, Chief. I look forward to that conversation with Judge Chan, and hopefully we could clear any of the remaining hurdles and get this program launched for our young people. Thank you all. That's my report.
Thank you, Sergeant.
For any member of the public who would like to make public comment regarding line item 5, please approach the podium. There is no public comment. Line item 6, presentation and discussion on SFPD's district boundaries, discussion and possible action.
Commissioner Benedicto.
Thank you, President Elias. I'm going to tee this up a little bit and then I hand it over to Director McGuire. For my fellow commissioners, as you know, we're required by city charter to consider revised maps for SFP district boundaries on a regular basis. So this was the undertaking of that process. I wanted to first thank and acknowledge the many people who worked on this process for well over a year. They were divided into a number of different groups. I do encourage members of the public to look at the posted materials that includes the report as well as the maps under consideration. First, I want to acknowledge ArcBridge Consulting and Training, which was the vendor that assisted us with the logistics of this process. In addition, there were a number of teams that were assembled that were very integral to this process. So one was the Executive Steering Committee. President Elias asked me to sit on that committee. In addition, from the Department of Emergency Management, we had Executive Director Mary Ellen Carroll, as well as Director Robert Smuts. We had Sophie Hayward from the Office of the City Administrator, Natasha Mihal from the Controller's Office, from SFPD, Catherine McGuire, Pete Walsh, David Lazar, and the Chief. So I want to thank the members of the steering committee and the people who filled in for them when they couldn't make it. Additionally, there was an internal technical group. There was the subject matter expert working group composed of Deputy Chief Julian Ng, Commander Nicole Jones, Commander Derek Liu, Commander Derek Jackson, Commander Eric Vintero, Captain Jack Hart, and Captain Chris Canning. And finally, the SFPD project team led by Executive Director McGuire, who's here with us tonight, as well as Director Diana Arocha, Jason Cunningham, Carl Nikita, and Maria Cownan. So I wanted to make sure to acknowledge those folks. Also, to set the stage of what we're going to be hearing tonight to my fellow commissioners, this will be the first of a number of meetings and solicitations we'll have on this subject. After speaking with our Deputy City Attorney, I just want to talk a little bit about process. So under the process, we're required to consider the report and recommendations, which is what we are all doing tonight to kick off the process, and are required to forward the proposal to adjust any boundaries to the mayor and board of supervisors, as well as post the proposal at the commission office outside the commission's regular meeting location, on the city's website, and send a copy to the public library. So at the conclusion of the presentation tonight, I'm going to make a motion that we do that. We're not making any final adoption decisions tonight. We're simply forwarding the proposed report to the Board of Supervisors and the mayor and posting as required by the charter. That will start a 90-day clock, which, again, after consultation with the Deputy City Attorney, will run from our vote tonight. So final action can't be taken until 90 days from our action. Within those 90 days, the commission is permitted to hear public comment, which I'm sure we'll hear tonight and over the course of the 90 days, hold additional hearings as needed, and make revisions to the map as needed. And starting at the 90-day mark, we can finally adopt or continue to discuss as needed. Already there's been, I know there's some people here for public comment tonight. I've spoken to multiple members of the Board of Supervisors that would like to make either written or spoken public comment along with members of their community to be heard as well in the course of 90 days. And I also want to acknowledge the Commission's already received some correspondence from different organizations, including the Lower Polk Community Benefit District, as well as a joint letter from the Central City SRO Collaborative, UC Law SF, the Tenderloin Community Benefit District, Lower Polk Neighborhoods, and La Voz Latina. And so I want to thank those organizations for being heard. I spoke to Director McGuire, who's going to deliver this presentation. I think the goal is for this presentation to be a little bit high level, and then we'll bring this back for fellow commissioners when there are other public commenters, and to answer any follow-up questions. So if there's anything that you want to hear from Executive Director McGuire, please raise it so she'll have it ready to take back when we come to subsequent presentations. So we'll, with that, I'll hand it over to Executive Director McGuire, and we'll make a motion to forward once we're done with that.
One other thing. It's my understanding that the consultant that worked with the department on this project is also available via Zoom currently. So if any commissioners have any questions or want any follow-up, that is also available to us in addition to Director McGuire's presentation.
Y'all are just covering my presentation for me. Thanks.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Good evening, President Elias, members of the commission, Director Henderson, Chief Scott, members of the public. I'm Catherine McGuire. I'm the Executive Director of the Strategic Management Bureau of the San Francisco Police Department. I'm here to present the analysis and process efforts of police district station boundaries and the resulting proposed recommendations. I'm going to start with just kind of a high level what this presentation will talk about this evening. And again, we can come back and talk more about more of the details as you all would like to hear more. I'll give you a little bit of background, although Commissioner Benedicto did pretty much cover the legislative recap on this effort. I'll talk about project goals, structure, the methodology we used, all of the data input that we gathered, and then show you the draft recommendations and how they evolved and where we landed and why. And then we'll talk about next steps.
Next slide. Thank you.
So first, a little bit of background. This is some of the language from, this is some of the language from the San Francisco Administrative Code. I won't spend a lot of time on this. The work plan we needed to submit last year to the commission, and we did. And then one subsequent year later, there is an official report, which is what we're talking about tonight. And then the additional information in the administrative code included required data and factors to consider. And those are listed there on the slide, and they are available in the report online. Project goals, again, from the legislation. Boundaries should operate to maximize the effectiveness of police operations and the efficient use of police resources. And so from that, the project had primary considerations of equitable resource allocation, stakeholder engagement, and data-driven analysis. As you can see, we had sort of these five inputs as we were moving through these data and analyzing it. We had an executive steering committee, an SFPD working committee, and the community kind of all working with these iterations of maps, and which were input from the ArcBridge consulting team and the SFPD project team. And as Commissioner Elias, President Elias mentioned, the ArcBridge consultants are online this evening and can answer any questions you might have about the mapping work that they did. So you all have seen this slide before in a previous presentation. This is just sort of what our work plan was and sort of shows all of the various bodies and this iterative process I was talking about, how we produced a map, went back to the groups, got feedback, thoughts, changes, produced another map, et cetera. So moving on to the methodology, the stakeholder interviews were a big first step. And we, the project team sat with every member of the Board of Supervisors at the time, every district station captain, members of the command staff, and we got external agency input and lessons learned from things like the supervisory redistricting effort and previous iterations of the district boundaries analysis. And then our contractors gathered a very large amount of data, and they started mapping. So they mapped population data, new proposed developments, calls for service data, incident data, neighborhood maps, and street center lines, of course, are included in most GIS maps of streets. And so those were also mapped. And so you'll see these slides are small, obviously. These are not intended to be maps that you can actually read. They're just intended to give you a flavor of how many different inputs and what all of the information that we absorbed was. So as you can see, there's a population by majority race, population by dispatch, by police dispatch, by police district, excuse me, plan developments. And on the next slide, we looked at the top 20 call locations, a calls for service heat map, just lots of slices and dices of the data to just see, make sure that nothing popped out of the ordinary. And then on the next slide, although this is not a map, you have to map the data to then create this table. So this is where incident data sort of falls out in among the districts, among the police districts for 2019 through 2023. And so I don't want to say finally, because throughout this, we were getting community input on the consultant's website. They had set up a website dedicated to this district boundaries input process. And so the public could actually go and create their own map. And we got a few of those. And took them into consideration. As you can see, we also, and so you can see that screenshot of the map on the top there, on the top right, and then below that you'll see a community survey that was also translated, and one of the translations is shown as a screenshot there. So we included community meetings. Of course, you all were helpful in engaging the community by announcing it at commission meetings. And station newsletters contained information for each of the district stations. And we asked our members of the board to announce it in their newsletters as well. We also had a few focus groups, some additional public hearings that were both virtual and in person. And then, of course, as I mentioned, the map making input from the website, which brings us to the maps. So there was an initial map, which was an iterative process in and of itself between a subject matter working group that met with the SAPD project team and ArcBridge Consulting and talked through all of that input data and came up with this series of maps that then, after discussion and back and forth and discussion with the district captains in particular, they landed at this patrol preferred map. And then from that, went to the executive committee, and the executive committee had some concerns in particular about Southern Station's workload going up. And what you don't see on the calls for service map, or really the incident data, is the level of activity in Southern, which is that the calls for service, sure, they have a fairly large volume and maybe a fairly large volume of incidents. But what you don't see are the two major sports venues there that increase the population by 20 to 40,000 anytime there's an event. So that is a huge increase in population. That's a huge increase in service that's demanded of Southern Station. And so the executive team didn't feel like that was a way to, that was gonna serve Southern Station or the community there very well, was expanding their scope so significantly. And so and we'll talk about this probably at the next meeting. I'll show how the calls for service would have changed had that had the Southern taken all of that, those calls for service. You just see that then Southern becomes the most busy station of all the stations, and then you add on top of that the two venues, and it just would have been too much for one station. And so, going from the patrol preferred to the recommended map, there was an effort to distribute that workload a little bit more, not only from Southern, but balancing park a little bit more and just trying to make the workload a little bit more equitable across the stations. And then finally, the proposed map really was a function of, after that iteration with the SME working group and the captains, everyone began to feel like even the recommended map was a bit much. It was, it may have balanced workload a bit better, but ultimately without, when we are so low on staffing and having to rearrange staffing and reshuffle it so much, that it would not necessarily benefit the department or the districts to feel like they had less on the other side of this analysis and implementation. So these changes benefit the department but don't require resources adjustments, and that is what the final map represents. Okay, and so you'll see the final map there with five major changes, and then which we can sit with for a second or move on to next steps. I'll pause.
I think you should move on to next steps and then we can ask questions as we do your presentation, not to disturb your flow.
Okay, and actually, Commissioner Benedicto already covered this, so we don't even need to cover it.
He's very helpful like that.
That's it.
Commissioner Yee. Thank you very much there, President Cindy Elias. Just kind of have a question. I know the mayor made an announcement 12 days ago regarding the San Francisco Hospitality Zone Task Force in the downtown district. What impact would that play on this map here?
So on...
I'll answer that. So...
thank you.
Yes, sir. Commissioner, none. None, really. The hospitality zone right now is two components of that. One part of that zone is assigned to Central Station. And that's the Union Square part, and the Soma piece of the hospitality zone is actually assigned to Southern. They have to communicate in order to coordinate their work and make sure that they're on the same page in terms of, you know, what they're doing, which is addressing a lot of the, you know, street conditions and problem solving. It has been proposed that that zone be made a district station. That actually came up in some of the community conversations, but did not, we did not move forward with that. It's just right now that the department could not absorb a new district station with the staffing challenges that we have and facility challenges that we have and the like. So it won't impact it at all. I mean, that task force can be moved if those problems go away. The task force can then be absorbed into the rest of the department or the stations that they're at to maintain the effort.
Because looking at that zone, it's, you got Central Station, Southern, and then you have Tenderloin too, and then Northern. I mean, that's the impact of, I guess, different captains involved and then different resources. So is it just a combined the resource of officers and to one unit, or is that going to be divided back into different stations? You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. They still report to the captain. So the captain of Southern still has the reach of, you know, the control of those officers and what they do in their work. But they're coordinating with the Central Station component of the task force. So the work is coordinated, and that those officers, that is their job, to be dedicated to that specific area. So we have to coordinate in order to make it work, but it's working right now, and it won't impact any of the boundary analysis work that's been done.
Would it be possible to have a commander regards to that handle that hospitality zone too as well?
Yeah, there is. The commander that is in charge of the Metro Division, which is Commander Derek Jackson, is very involved in the overseeing of the work. And then there's also, you know, another piece of this, you know, we have to coordinate with the whole DMAC command, because a lot of that work just flows from the DMAC areas to the hospitality areas, so it all has to be coordinated. And there's a commander over that too, as you know, it's Commander Derek Liu.
And then the final question is, how many more officers will be added to the hospitality zone? Do you have a figure in mind?
Yeah, right now, we've already added a lieutenant, a sergeant, and seven officers for the central component, the MSR for the southern component of the hospitality task force. The central component has a lieutenant, I think a sergeant, and 14 officers, I believe. And that can be adjusted depending on what is going on. Like for during the holiday season, we increased the deployment in Union Square. During special events, like we did on this past weekend, we increased the deployment in the Soma with the Moscone event. So it can be adjusted depending on what's going on.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, sir, Chief. I know you're going to do an excellent job on this. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Commissioner Clay.
Yeah, thank you, Madam President. First of all, excellent job. I mean, you took a lot of time and to put this together. I'm taking a look at all the things you did and all the factors you used to get to this point. And so what I'm looking at, you said, based upon your final proposal, this map, it's not going to require any adjustment in terms of resources, although you did lengthen or you widen or enlarge some of these districts.
Mm-hmm.
So that's got to be, when you look at where it started, where the command wanted, the other, and you come to here and the resources are going to still be equitable, but you've enlarged districts. So in that composition of things, how did you come to these how did the conclusion in terms of how the resources would be?
Well, so this is more of a our districts are currently not equitably distributed with their workloads, but we're staffed, where we've set the staffing and settled, kind of the dust is settled on where the staffing is for those districts. And we change them all the time. And the assistant chief and FOB chief are constantly reviewing that every transfer. They're looking at where staffing is for every district station. These adjustments are kind of just pain points mostly that are, or just good sense. So, for instance, in Park Station, this is labeled Change E. Park Station and Richmond, there are some permanent concrete barriers that make it harder for Richmond to respond to that section of the park. And so we just shifted it over to Park. It's easier for them to respond. So we put it, just moved the boundary a little. Similarly, the change label D, I believe this is where the facade of a building sits, the address sits in one station and the actual building sits in the other station. And so we just changed that to have the whole building sit in the one station. So things that are minor, that don't really require a ton of staffing. Actually, the D change may actually require a little bit of adjustment there, but that can happen, you know, over time or in an A transfer rather than a big hefty analysis that has to happen with every change and every district and all the sort of churn and turnover and turmoil that would go with those kinds of changes. This will suffice for now.
And so as it's set up, as we go forward, and hopefully we start getting more officers online, the chief and staff, command staff, will readjust and patrol people out to these different districts. We'll need that additional help.
Yes, sir.
So it's all set up that way.
Right. We can change boundaries as we need to. This is mandated, a minimum ceiling, a floor, not a ceiling.
And so the final question, as we look at this here and it's going to have the posting period in this 90 days. Madam President, will we each week have an agenda item for people to talk and ask about this? You were saying, Commissioner Benedetto, about that. Is that going to have a calendared spot every week so someone, they can have public comment on this posting as the weeks go by?
It's a good question. I don't think we've worked out the exact mechanics. I would expect that most weeks it would not be agendized as a line item and thus would be eligible for general public comment, since general public comment you're allowed to address for anything not on the agenda. If there's a specific take-back question that anyone wanted Director McGuire to come for, we'd agendize it. Or if there was, let's say, there was a flurry of community interest and interest from elected officials such that, like I said, I think I want to explicitly calendar it at least once sometime in March, because I do think some of the groups that wrote and then some of the elected officials want to organize a response. So at least once in that 9 days it will be agendized. I don't think we need to agendize it every week. So, but members of the public would be welcome, when not agendized, to comment on general comment or to provide written comment.
So maybe in the posting we should include that for the general comment section, this is available for general comment section until we have a specific agenda item on for the week, right?
Yes, so I plan to agendize it for the next meeting in March, for the first meeting in March. So to either be first meeting or second meeting in March as an actual agendized item so that we can discuss it, because my understanding is there are a few questions outstanding. Additionally, this has been posted on our website, so the community can comment on our website, the commission website, with any questions or concerns. I don't believe that we've received any thus far, but if we do receive one, the commission office will collect them and then notify the commission.
Okay, so they can post on the website versus coming to the actual meeting and doing that, but that we make that available to them. They know that.
Right. I think we may even want to, if we could, post it to social media, our commission social media, to see if there are any additional public comments. Or Chief, are you going to be, have you done social media outreach on this?
We did, yes.
A while back, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Any hands? Mr. Benedicto.
Right. I was going to make my motion.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
All right. I'll make my motion, then we'll go to public comment, Mr. Allen. Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Executive Director McGuire. And I do want to highlight something Executive Director McGuire said, which was that there's been public comment throughout this process. There was not a large amount of public comment, I would say, but it was definitely vigorous, and it was incorporated at every stage of this process. So I'm going to make a motion before we go to public comment. Also, I emailed the written version of this to commission staff, so you don't have to try to take down my fast talking. So my motion is that pursuant to Section 2A.86 of the Charter of the City and County of San Francisco, the commission has considered the chief's report and recommendations as summarized and agreed to in the SFPD boundary analysis of District Station's project report, specifically the proposed map on page 84 of the report, and hereby forwards this proposal to the mayor and the Board of Supervisors to adjust station boundaries. The commission will also post the proposal at the commission's offices, outside the commission's regular meeting area, the commission section of the city's website, and will send a copy to the public library. Public comment shall be open for a minimum of 90 days, and final action shall be taken no earlier than May 20th, 2025.
Second.
One thing I did want to clarify before we went to public comment is, for Director McGuire and the Chief, I was correct there, right, that it is the proposed map on page 84, which is the Chief and the Department's recommendation that we adopt, correct?
I believe so. One second. It's also in the presentation in that very last slide.
Yeah.
Yes, page 84. That is okay. Correct.
Right. And thank you, Commissioner Clay, for seconding my motion.
If any member of the public would like to make public comment regarding line item, line item 6, please approach the podium.
Good evening, Commissioners. Chief Scott, Paul Allen. During this process, I had submitted comments urging serious consideration of moving part of the Castro from Mission to Park for reasons we don't need to go into. Indeed, that particular recommendation was included in three of the recommendations within the report before you, including, I believe, the penultimate one. And then in the recommendation, in the recommended one, that falls off. My point is not too much to critique that, because I don't really feel competent to do so. Rather, the reasons stated for that, and I draw your attention to the last page of the full document, which is page 89, I guess, or 86, where there is simply a declaration from the consultants that the reason the final recommendation or the proposed one is before you essentially boils down to resources, that we don't have enough officers and therefore we don't think we can adjust boundaries. To me, as a declaration, that is not persuasive. I think we need a fuller explanation of why that is a case. You have a deficit of X number of officers. They obviously could be shuffled around to different district stations, along with an adjustment of those district station lines. Again, I'm not advocating for that because I don't feel competent to judge that, just as I don't feel competent to judge whether it was right to not move part of Castro from Mission to Park. But I think we're entitled to a better explanation, a more fulsome explanation of the nexus, if you will, between the deficiency in the number of officers on the one hand and the unwillingness or reluctance to change boundaries among district stations. Thank you.
Thank you, commissioners. Thank you. My name is Chris Shulman, Lower Polk Community Benefit District. Thank you for acknowledging our letter submitted yesterday, and thank you for acknowledging the letter submitted by a number of organizations that I'm proud to be part of working with. The status quo is not working for the Tenderloin and the Tenderloin adjacent communities such as myself and Lower Polk. The proposed map, as we acknowledged in our letter, does not work for us. While there's some small tweaks that make some incremental improvement, overall, we found a much better match with the recommended map in previous iterations. To build towards equity and improvement, it takes work and it takes effort and you know, it'll take some redistribution of resources, and to get there, we need to work together. If I can have the overhead real briefly. This is the heat map, and it shows right here we have the intersection of three police districts in the corner of the Tenderloin and Lower Polk, Northern Central and Tenderloin, and that's where the highest crime area, the highest 911 call areas are. The community has to work with three police districts. And that's a tall order. That's both calls that three districts have to respond to, but that's three districts that the community has to interact with. Larkin Street's a border. That's problematic. There's alleys that have two police districts. Just moving it to Post Street doesn't accomplish our needs. I look forward to interacting with your honorable commission over the next 90 days. We'll come up. We'll advocate. We look forward to working with you. We look forward to you here listening to us. And thank you so much for taking the time to hear from us. And I really do look forward to advocating over the next 90 days.
Good evening, commissioners. I'm Alice Rogers. I am a 30-year resident in Southern Station. I, too, did send you a letter, which wasn't acknowledged, but I and other neighbors from our Southern District did address you. We strongly support your final report. We want to commend your staff for the work that they did. Our direct contact was Maria McGowan, and we especially want to appreciate the depth of information that she brought to the public hearings that she conducted. We were quite distressed. Did I say that I am the president of the South Beach Rincon Mission Bay Neighborhood Association, which comprises much of Southern District, and we were quite distressed by the first map for the reasons that Director McGuire laid out. I won't reiterate, but we were thankful through the public process, which we engaged in and which we, the Neighborhood Association, broadcast to our constituencies so they could individually interact with your maps and give their input. We were very pleased to see the maps move to the final iteration and feel that they more equitably address the workload. And our Southern Station Captain Martin seems to agree. Thank you so much for your work on this.
Thank you, Ms. Rogers. I didn't want to fail to acknowledge your correspondence as well as the correspondence of Bettina Cohen, who were, as well, that was sent to the commission. Thank you.
Good evening, commissioners. My name is Pratibha Theke, and I work for Tenderloin Housing Clinic. I oversee three programs, Central City SRO Collaborative, Lavos Latina, and CR program. I remember being here 10 years ago, in fact, 11 years ago, fighting for an equitable district, Tenderloin Police Station District. We did not win that battle last time because we had to compromise. We were asking until up to Larkin. We were trying not to have a Westfield Mall and south of Market, but we did get all that. And as Chris Schulman pointed out, I mean, I don't know why we are seeing what we are doing right now, the calls of service right now, but I think this is a 10-year map, so we have to look for the future, how the district will be for the future, and including the present, but the future also. And we are seeing movement of issues that is in different parts of the district surrounding Tenderloin Station. And I would highly encourage, we are not happy with the last reiteration based on calls for service. You have gotten all our concerns. So I would highly recommend you reach out to us because we are not happy with what was proposed to you all today, recommended rather. We prefer the map that we recommended in our letter. That's what we think. And we have reached out to several community members. Not all community members have access to internet and calls and coming here. So you should definitely do your part of reaching out to people who live in the community rather than just expect them to reach out to you. Thank you.
Good evening, Commissioners and Chief Scott. My name is Eric Rozelle, and I'm a long-term resident of the Tenderloin and Director of SAFE Programs at the Tenderloin Community Benefit District. I'm here to express strong support for SFPD's proposed Tenderloin Station boundary changes outlined in the past map iteration, the Patrol Preferred Map. Yes, the Tenderloin has seen some progress, but challenges remain, especially late at night and early morning, as clearly indicated in the heat map. The current boundaries and recommendations stretch too far east and south, encompassing areas like Westfield Mall and Soma. This pulls Tenderloin officers away from the core of the Tenderloin, where they're needed most to address serious crimes like shootings, assault, robberies, and our persistent open-air drug market. Shifting the boundaries to North Market Street, to North to Sutter Street, and west and east boundaries between Mason and Van Ness will allow officers to focus their resources where crimes are occurring most, the Tenderloin. Furthermore, the current northern boundary at Geary Street is insufficient. Illicit activity has simply shifted north to Sutter Street, creating dangerous pockets of lawlessness in the alleys between Larkin and Van Ness. The proposed extension to Van Ness, as shown in the patrol preferred map and final proposed map, is crucial and eliminates the confusing and ineffective Larkin Street border, which currently splits blocks and alleys between precincts and hindering effective policing and response times. This change will finally allow for coordinated policing efforts and streamlined responses in the critical areas. These boundaries adjustments are not just lines on a map. Remember this, please. They're about equitability and effective policing. They're about allowing the Tenderloin to truly serve. Thank you.
It was faster than you think, huh?
Hi, good evening. My name is Gregory Johnson, and I'm with CCSROC, Central City SRO Collaborative. I also know Chief Scott there. Good evening. I'd like to echo the comments by Pratibha Techie with CCSROC. We have to look towards the future. Things are changing. previous provisions that I'm sure may not have been taken into account of what services the city wants to dump in our area, mental health, et cetera. All of these things have to be considered. I mean, that's what is all about.
Equitability.
We can't just willy-nilly do what we're getting ready to do. We're talking about 10 years here. That's a long time. Thank you.
Thank you to those that made public comment. Something I wanted to say is that I and I think every single commissioner here takes very seriously this responsibility and will want to hear from as much of the community in this 90 days as we can. For anyone who knows me or worked with me on when we did our pretext ops policy, I had a policy and a commitment. President Elias knows this, that I said yes to every community meeting that was taken, whether it was Zoom or in person, a group of 50 or three people at a community center, and I will make that commitment on this too. I know there are populations that we're not reaching here. If anyone here or anyone who considers this would like to, and as President Elias has pointed out, the 2 minutes goes fast, and the concerns of your community are way too big to be limited to 2 minutes. And so if any of your organizations, if any member of your organizations, additional members of the community want to speak to me, I will commit that I will say yes and will find the time to hear your concerns. And I will be the department to sending someone to come along too. I see Director McGuire is raising her hand. She may live to regret that. But we will come to those meetings. We will hear you out. Can't promise. In fact, the only thing I can promise is that not everyone's going to be happy at the end of this. We passed a policy last week where President Elias rightly asked Judge Clay for the adage that, you know, a good compromise is when everyone's disappointed about the same amount. But I promise you will be heard and your concerns will be taken seriously. And if changes need to be made, they'll be made. And and we will look very closely at that. So please, my email address is on the commission website, my individual commission email address. I will say yes to any meeting.
So, that is true. I've seen him. Also, too, as you see, when you send letters to the commission staff, they're excellent. They make sure that we get them and they catalog them and keep them in that place. So you can also send it to them as well. If there are additional questions you have, clarity you want, we have the department, we have the consultants, and we will ask the questions that you want answered or want answers to. So feel free to just send them in. As Commissioner Benedicto stated, this is the first of a few that we will have. Any hands? Sergeant?
All right, on the motion, Commissioner Clay, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Clay is yes. Commissioner Benedicto?
Yes.
Commissioner Benedicto is yes. Commissioner Yanez?
Yes.
Commissioner Yanez is yes. Commissioner Yee?
Yes.
Commissioner Yee is yes. And President Elias? Yes. President Elias is yes. You have five yeses. Line item. See, one housekeeping item. We are taking off line item 10, closed session tonight. So therefore, line item 8, 9, and 11 are also taken off. Line item 7, discussion and possible action to approve Department General Order 1.06, duties of commissioned officers, for the department to use in meeting and conferring with the affected bargaining units as required by law. Discussion and possible action.
Chief.
Okay. So DGO 1.06 is duties of commission officers. This was one that I believe Commissioner President Elias that you sent back for reworking. So we did that. Definitely collaborative effort with all of our SMEs on this and DPA's input on this. So we believe we have a pretty concise DGO. It's not all-inclusive. Let me just start there. It's not all-inclusive for everything that a commissioned officer has to do, but it's a general guideline of what we expect of our commissioned officers. So if there's any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer.
Director Henderson, did you have anything to add?
Nope, and thank you. I think I was told we didn't have any comment. The work was collaborative, and so because of that, we have no comment, and we agree with the direction that the DGO was coming in. So that's what I meant by no one. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Well, I will note it is an improvement, so thank you for taking the suggestions and feedback from various stakeholders and other people that came late to the game, so I appreciate that. I know it's often difficult to have the Johnny come latelys come and throw up prized work, so I appreciate that.
I think it's, yeah, it's significantly improved. I'll note this DGO was last updated on August 24th of 1994. So in my continued quest to eradicate all DGOs that are from the 90s, I'm glad to see this one be. I still think there's too many, Chief. I'm going to ask you for a count one of these days. But I know we've gotten it down, but there's still too many that date back to the 90s.
I gave priority to the 90s DGOs on the list of DGOs to work on.
I agree,
this
yeah.
Year.
But
there were too many to put.
There's still too many. Yeah. But, yeah, so I will, thanking President Elias and the Chief for this work, I will move to approve Department General Order 1.06 for the use in meeting and conferring with affected bargaining units. Consistent with our labor relations resolution 23-30.
I'll second.
Any member of the public would like to make public comment regarding line item 7, please approach the podium. There is no public comment. On the motion, Commissioner Clay, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Clay is yes. Commissioner Benedicto?
Yes.
Commissioner Benedicto is yes. Commissioner Yanez?
Yes.
Commissioner Yanez is yes. Commissioner Yee?
Yes.
Commissioner Yee is yes. And President Elias? President Elias says yes. You have 5 yeses. Line item 12, adjournment.
Yay.
Oh.
4 minutes over.
Start over.
4 minutes over?
Madam President.